Question. How many of you feel disconnected from God? You feel disconnected. I got a feeling there's some of us today that feel kind of isolated, disconnected from God. You want to hear a word from the Lord, but for some reason you don't really feel connected. Question. How many of you not only feel disconnected from God, but how many feel disconnected from your family or friends? There's something about this time of the year that causes us to feel disconnected. In fact, how many of you today feel disconnected from your church family? Listen to me. Every once in a while, somebody say, "Pastor, I don't feel connected in my church family." And I ask them, I said, "Well, no wonder. You don't come but once every 2 months." Hello. We have 4 services on Sunday. 8:30, Sunday school, 11 o'clock, and then 6:30 at night. Every Sunday out of the year. Plus a service during the week. If you're not connected to your church family, it just might be that you're maybe not here enough. And that's why we have our fellowship meals and times together, to give you time and me time to connect with our church family. But today, I want to tell you, you can get reconnected from that seemingly isolation from your Heavenly Father. Do you feel disconnected today from your Father in heaven? Do you feel disconnected today from your earthly family? Or going through Christmas time and Thanksgiving time, and do you feel disconnected from your church family? You can get reconnected today. It's one thing to know that you're saved and you're Christian. It's another thing to get reconnected. Can I tell you, speaking of reconnection, today is my grandmother's birthday. My grandmother's in heaven. I'll never forget my dear grandmother. She was an English teacher, Sister Carolyn, an English teacher of all of that. And for some reason, y'all forgive me for a moment, but I got to reminisce because today's December 4th, her birthday, and I had the privilege of talking with my grandmother about a relationship with Jesus and preaching her homegoing service. And I'll never forget when I was a little boy, about 4 to 5 years old, my grandmother taught me this poem. Y'all forgive me for a moment. My grandmother taught me this poem. She said, "As I walked under the sycamore tree, just look what a little birdie did on me. I'll tell you a fact, that it ain't no lie. I sure am glad that cows can't fly." And it doesn't hurt you to smile every once in a while, those of you that are so stressed out and so spiritual that you can't smile. Anyway, besides all that, hey, I've speaking of challenges in this time of the year, it's a SAD, sad time of the year for many. And some of you today, you're sad. Not sad as an emotional sad, but SAD, seasonal attention disorder, sad, SAD. And many of you are experiencing that, aren't you? How many experiences that? Let me see your hand. Probably all of you are, only one or two of you being honest, but all of you, you know, it's dark, it's gloomy, it's rainy. Come on, y'all don't act like you're not experiencing a little bit of the seasonal attention. You know you are, and whether you want to admit it or not, we all have our times, but speaking of seasonal attention disorder, I know it's a happy time of the year, and I know it's your favorite time of the year. Nonetheless, this time of the year, now I've not been deer hunting in about 10 years. I hadn't killed a deer in 10 years, but I killed one this week. For the first time in 10 years. Not with my 30-06, but with my 300 Chrysler. All right? First time. But anyway, hey, are you sad today? Are you just putting on a front? Are you coming to church and smiling, act like everything's all right? We got a good way of doing that, don't we? But today, God is wanting you to reconnect with your relationship with God and with your family and with your church family. And I believe the Lord has a way for us to reconnect. In fact, there's 3 steps that I think the Lord wants you to take today and me to take today as we, watch, here's the title of the message today, Activation from Distraction from the Main Attraction. Reactivation from Distraction. A lot of things have got us distracted today. I understand. It's hard to stay focused on what God wants us to do. How many of you got a cell phone? Let me see your hand. Hold your cell phone up, all right? Hold it up a moment. I want to see your cell phone. Come on now. Don't act like you don't have a cell phone with you. Come on. Hold it up. I want to see it. All of you that got a cell phone today, you got it, all right? Let me see it. Good. Now, and if I see you playing with it and texting, then I'm going to take it away. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, here's the deal with a cell phone. I've got a cell phone right up here, and I've got one on my side too, but this is an old cell phone. But I want to tell you something. It's old, and you know what? I charged it up, and you know what else? It looks just like yours probably. It's an old cell phone, and it still works. It still comes on. Now, I've got another cell phone that's an update, but guess what about this cell phone? It still comes on. It powers on. I can still push, the call button. I've still got all my contacts in my cell phone. I can still look at some of my text messaging and so forth. But guess what? It's not activated. I cannot send text messages. I cannot send a telephone call because this phone, though it's powered on with a battery, it's not activated. Listen to me. As a Christian, you can say, hey, I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm a Christian. No doubt about it. When I die, I'm going to heaven. But for some reason or another, maybe the Holy Spirit is not really activated in your life. I don't doubt that you may be saved today, but what I'm asking are you connected with God? Can you have that communication with the Lord? It's one thing to have a cell phone that's powered up. It's another thing to have it activated where it works. It's one thing to be a Christian. It's another thing to be activated by the Holy Spirit. And the church said, amen and amen and amen. You see, this time of the year can be indeed a very sad time for many. It can be sad because of the season, because of the weather, because of the light hours, and a number of things can create this time of the year a sadness. I want to give you three steps today. If you'll notice, this is not our text today, but more than likely, you're going through a season in your life. And just like Solomon wrote, there's a time and everything, there's a season, a time for every purpose under the sun. How many sense that you're going through a certain season in your life? Let me see your hand. I had a feeling it'd be a lot of us today. You're going through a season in your life. And the question is, what kind of season are you in? And the question is, are you activated, that is, in your relationship with God? If you'll notice, there is the winter time. The leaves are off the trees. Winter time has its purpose. It kills the bugs. It has its definite purpose that God intended it. And yet we go through winter time. We go through springtime. We go through summertime. We go through fall. I mean, there's a season for everything under the sun. And so Solomon wrote and made it very clear that we would indeed face these seasons. Here's the three steps that I want to give you today. Three steps in order to get reactivated from distraction. And I believe God's going to use this in your life. Number one, and we'll look at our text in a moment, and it's this. First of all, you must have that activation from distraction, like this cell phone. You've got to have activation from distraction. It might be powered on, but it might not work because it's not activated. Number two, and we'll see that in a moment, that Jesus for us. And then number two, not only activation from distraction, but you'll see number two, the fact that not only activation, but notice we're going to see participation from distraction. The second step that I think it'll help you get reconnected to the Lord and reconnected to your family and, in fact, reconnected to your church family is that not only activation from distraction, but number two, participation from distraction. Not only Jesus for us, but Jesus with us. And then we'll see in a moment the third and final step of our journey and how to get reactivated in our relationship with God. In fact, that's why you're here today. It's not to be entertained, it's to get right with the Lord and be activated in your faith toward God. Number three, and finally, we'll see reactivation from distraction. Not only Jesus for us and Jesus with us, but we'll see Jesus, thank God, in us. I want to invite you to turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew and chapter number 1. Matthew chapter 1. And if you would, stand to your feet. In Matthew's gospel, he gives us these generations and this genealogical line. Matthew chapter 1. There are 14 generations from Abraham. Well, from Adam to David, and then David to Abraham. And then you'll notice in the gospel of Matthew chapter 1, Matthew, God told him to follow him. Then there's 14 generations from the captivity, David to captivity, and then captivity to Christ. In Matthew's gospel chapter 1, I love the gospel of Matthew because the Lord Jesus said to Matthew, remember he's a tax collector, he said, I didn't come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. He said, if you're whole, if you're healthy, you don't need to go to the doctor, only when you're sick. And he said, go learn what that meaneth. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And Matthew, you know what he did? Though he had a lot of money and he was a tax collector, he left all of that and followed Jesus. Now he's writing this gospel right here to portray our Lord as the King of the Jews. And in this particular text, you'll notice in verses 18 following, here's the account of Joseph and Mary. You're very familiar with it. And I just want to pick up right here and draw a few truths from this text to hopefully get us reconnected, reactivated from distraction, from the main attraction. Look at verse 18. The Lord spoke to my heart this week and gave me this message to share with you. I trust He'll use it for His glory. Now, verse 18 of Matthew's gospel. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, a Dikaios, a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily, that is privately, that is quietly. Verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord, most speculate probably Gabriel, because he was working on the other end as well. Verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not. Boy, that's a good word. Fear not. Say that with me. Fear not. One more time. Fear not. To take unto thee Mary thy wife. When God says don't fear, don't fear. To take unto thee Mary thy wife. I'm reading from verse 20, the last part. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And verse 21 and verse 23 is what registered me. Though I have used this text before preaching and message, this is a different message God gave me. Verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son and call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He shall save his people from their sins. Not in their sin, but from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying. And he's referring here, by the way, to Isaiah in verse number 22. The word of God has been fulfilled in the past. We're talking about 500 years before this event ever happened. You can rest assured God's word will be fulfilled in the future. Here's a prime example once again. Now look at verse 23. Behold, a virgin. Now, that word virgin is parthenos, and is translated in the Septuagint from the Old Testament word alma to parthenos. Now, the Greek word is also parthenos, which means basically this, a woman who'd never known a man. She was a virgin. That's very important, beloved, as we celebrate this time of the year, that Mary was indeed a virgin, and therefore Jesus could be God in the flesh. But look again at verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Say that name with me. Emmanuel. One more time. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? Which being interpreted is God with us. This is the word of the Lord. May God bless it to our heart today. Father, I thank you that you are alive. That God, you're not the one that moves. You're not the one that that moves. We're the one that moves away from you. And I pray today, Father, our faith and trust in you would be reactivated, dear God, that we would not only draw near to you, but Lord, with clean hands and a pure heart, and that, Father God, you'll bring us back into that love relationship, that intimacy, that peace that passes understanding, and your glorious presence with us, knowing we don't have to be afraid, we don't have to fear, we don't, dear God, have to feel isolated, that you're with us, and you said you would not leave us nor forsake us. I pray today that be, dear Lord, the revelation of your word and the impartation of the living Christ to be expressed in us and through us to a lost and dying world, that our Redeemer lives and we know that you live. We know your word is true. I thank you, God, for not giving up on us, and Lord, having mercy on us, and Lord, forgiving my sins and in saving me by your marvelous grace, and God calling me to serve you. We ask today, Father God, for heavy hearts and discouragement and Lord, hard times to be just lifted up, and that you will, Father God, refresh us by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the men and women, the husbands and wives, and the daddies and the mamas, and Father, the servants, the soldiers of the cross. We need you today. I need you desperately. I've got to have you every moment. Lord, I'll fail miserably without you. But thank you, precious Lord. You said that you not only died for us, but you said you'd be with us, and you're in us now. And we stand complete in you, and we love you and worship you, and all of heaven and all of earth and everything you said that has breath, it is to praise you. And we bless you today because you've been good and your glory is seen, and we'll spend eternity with you. And so we pray now you'll have your will and way with us and fill us afresh today and get glory and honor. And we pray it in the name above every other name, the name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. Here's the three steps. Number one. I mean, how can we get reconnected? Remember now, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Though we might feel alienated, and there's some of you today that you admitted that you really don't feel close to God, I want to tell you, first of all, the first step that you and I need to take is the step of, watch this, it is the step of activation from isolation, or activation from distraction. How many know that it's easy to get distracted nowadays, especially this time of the year? All the hoopla, all the commercialism of Christmas. Nothing wrong with spending time with your family, nothing wrong with enjoying this time of the year, but I got a feeling that if we're not careful, we can get very distracted from Jesus, who is the reason, not only for this season, but for every season. And the church said, tell me, are you distracted from God? Are you right where God wants you? Notice that the angel came and said to Joseph, he said that you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save the people from their sins. First of all, those of you that joined us late, you'll notice that this phone has to be activated. It's got power, it's on, and there's no problem in the fact that it's got power and it's on, but the problem is it's not activated. Now, you've got to be born again. And if you're here today and you're not really a child of God, been washed in the blood by faith, received the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you don't have that activation. You don't have that power. You can't turn on the power switch. No wonder you feel isolated from God. The first step is that activation. Jesus shall come to save the people from their sins. He's not just a good way to heaven or a great way to heaven. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Our sins. He came to bring us into a relationship with God. That's the purpose of being a Christian. Not just to go to heaven, but to have this love relationship, to walk with the Lord, to have intimacy with Him. So, question, have you taken this first step? Has there been a time and point in your life when you know that you know you passed from death into life? Well, Jesus was the invisible God, and He became the visible God. We celebrate that this time of the year. God becoming man, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And as if the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, I want you to know, in this matter of activation, that there are several things I want you to think with me for a moment. Number one, what causes us to feel disconnected from God? Why is it that you feel disconnected from God? What is it that you're going through maybe today? I got good news for you. Look up here. God's word is always in season. And somebody said, amen. You see, though it's dark, though it's raining, though it's dreary, though things may not be going just like you want them to go, God's word is always in season. You can have your faith in his word because he will not fail you. Amen and amen. And you see, the problem is this season attention disorder, it affects all of us. The light hours are decreasing. The cold weather is coming on. The rain, thank God for the rain. But again, there's something about it. They face it in Alaska. I was talking with a man who was stationed in Alaska for quite some months. And they said it's quite considerably noticeable when you go to somewhere like that. But we face it as well. And my goal today is this: activation from distraction. What are the causes of being distracted? Can I give you several that the Lord gave me? Number one, are you ready for it? If you are, say amen. You know what keeps us distracted from God? Can you be honest? Will you be honest with me today? A bad attitude. A bad attitude will get you distracted from God faster than anything else. How many of you have been battling a bad attitude? We just came out of Thanksgiving. God's blessed us immensely. God's poured out his blessing on us. He daily loads us with benefits. He provides help for us. He gives us a roof to sleep under. We've got a warm house to enjoy at night. We've got shoes on our feet. And thank God, food on the table, maybe a little money in our pocket. God has been good to us. He's daily loaded us with benefits. And you see, for some reason or another, even though we're a blessed people, if we're not careful, we can become ungrateful. And that's what causes our disconnection. We just get to the place where we say, well, God, I'm expected and I deserve it. And this will cause a disconnection. What is it that's causing you to feel disconnected to God? Is it a bad attitude? Do you need to recorrect your attitude? Have you been complaining about, well, if you just had a job like I got, and if you just had children like I have, and if you just had all the stress and the pressure that I'm going through, and money and owing and so forth and so on, man, you'd feel the same way. Can I tell you something? Today, some of you are looking for something to fill that need. You won't find it until you find it, a love relationship with the Lord. You can look here and there and yonder, but you won't find it. It's in Jesus that satisfies the need. He shall save the people from their sins. So what are you going through today? God's promised us rain here in this text in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 12. But look at this. God changes. I want to tell you, number two, there's a second cause that causes us to get isolated or disconnected from God. And it's this. See if you agree with me now. If y'all can be religious if you want to today, or you can be honest with God. I want to be honest with God. Do you want to be honest with God today, or do you just want to play church? You know what gets me distracted and what can get you distracted? Busyness. Business, getting real busy. Man, I got to get all the shopping done. I got to get this done. I'm going to work. I've got my entertainment, my recreation. I want to go here. I want to do this. I want to do all this. And busyness can get us distracted. It does all the time, doesn't it? The fast pace of Christmas time, getting the right gift, trying. Hey, how many of you are feeling like a little stressed already about trying to coordinate everybody's schedule so you can get together with your family? Come on, let me see your hand. Am I the only one? And church, we got church parties, you know, get togethers, nothing wrong with that. Have fun, hallelujah. But it can be a stressful time of the year. Somebody agree with what I'm saying? You know it can. Distraction from the main attraction. We're talking about activation from distraction. Business. I'm reminded of old Martha. Nothing wrong with what Martha's doing. I'm glad she's fixing a meal. How many like to eat? Let me see your hand. Oh, yeah. Thank God for Martha and her business. But you know, Martha developed a bad attitude. And Jesus tell Mary to get up and help me. Martha, you see, was so busy, and she, like us, she forgot the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And question, are you keeping the main thing the main thing? Oh, yeah, I know you know that. I know you've heard that for years. But the question is, you know, every day, every year is a different year. Every day, every week, different things come up, things you didn't expect, things you didn't plan, challenges here, challenges there. And if you're not careful, you and I can get busy like we are now, like some of us are now, and we've lost that activation, if you will, and now we've gotten distracted. Well, there's good news. There's a third problem. By the way, Martha overcame that busyness. I read not only in the Gospel of Mark chapter 14, but I read in the Gospel of John chapter 12. She fixed the same meal for the same crowd, and she didn't have a complaining spirit. Question, will you have a good attitude this Christmas? You know, sometimes, see if you're with me now. I just want to share with you today. I'm sharing with my heart, all right? Is that all right? Sometimes with our family, see if you're like me. Thanksgiving, Christmas, sometimes you can be so stressed out about all the stuff, getting all the gifts, going all the places, running here and there, trying to do this, or on the other hand, you might just be a selfish individual and do your own thing. You don't care about everybody else. I'm not talking about selfishness here. I'm talking about you when you want to really try to make a difference in people's lives, but sometimes you get so in tune with all the stuff you got to do, watch this, that you lose the joy of being with your family because you're all stressed out. And you're not really making that time important. It happens to all of us that we just, you know, when everybody gets together, it's like, shoo. And then you sit down and then everybody's gone. Can I get a witness? Everybody's gone. Well, what did I do? What connection did I make? Did I make a lifelong commitment? Have I prayed about this? Was I focused before Christmas? Was I focused before Thanksgiving? Disconnection from God and from our family. Today, you don't have to stay that way. If you'll take the first step, God will give you strength to get reconnected. That's the goal of the message today, to get reconnected to the Lord and reconnected to your family. Oh, won't that be wonderful? Yes, it will. There's a third reason or cause for us being distracted. Not only a bad attitude and not only busyness, but number three, and perhaps very importantly, the third reason that we get distracted is because of the changes in our life. Notice up here, he changes the times and the seasons. I love this. This is the book of Daniel, chapter 2. God changes the times and the season. He removes kings and raises up kings. We just saw that with the new president election. But he also gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding, Daniel 2. And 21, changes. How many know? Wait a minute, I got to ask you a question. See if you're with me. How many would admit right now I'm going through a change in my life? Let me see your hand. I'm going through a change in my life. Yeah, you're going through it. You may not want to admit it. You're going through it, and you know you are. You're at a crossroads. We're not getting any younger. How many know we're not getting any younger? I heard about a man, by the way, who was 90 years old, and this man said to a friend, he said, you know, the older I get, now y'all just bear with me for a moment. He said, the older I get, the more I feel like a little boy again, like a little toddler, like a little baby. And his friend said, what do you mean? He said, the man that was 90, he said, I'll tell you what. Hey, I find myself laughing and I find myself crying. And then he said, I think I just wet myself. Now, only older people appreciate that. You that got that sober look on your face, you just wait. You'll get older too one day. If the Lord wills, and I will too, amen. If you hang around older people, you got to learn to laugh because a merry heart doeth good like medicine. You might as well anyway. But wait a minute. Changes. You're going through some changes in your life right now, right? Oh, yeah, we're going through changes. It's coming up wintertime. Not officially. That's a little bit later in December. But nonetheless, we're experiencing the changes. What kind of changes are you going through? Sometimes, watch this, we can get disconnected from the changes in life. Sometimes, circumstances. Write this down, circumstances. There's sometimes, how many know that sometimes circumstances can change overnight? I mean, it just, boom, like that. Something can happen, and all of a sudden, your world is changed. This was what can cause us to get disconnected. Changes in life. Teenagers are saying, man, I understand what you're saying, Pastor. I'm going through puberty, or maybe I'm going to get to high school, or young adults say, you know, changes. I'm having a baby, or I'm having, you know, just getting married, or I'm starting a new job and wondering how I'm going to pay bills. And senior adults are saying, you know, I'm getting older too. I'm finding out, you know, things that don't work, or don't hurt, don't work, all right? I mean, I wake up in the morning and, you know, I mean, changes can cause us to get disconnected from that relationship with God. But there's a second step. Let me hasten to move on. He shall save the people from their sins, Matthew 1:21, Jesus. activation from disconnection. It's got to be step one. Has there ever been that point in time when you said, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. I want you to take control of my life. I repent. I turn from my sin. By faith, I believe that God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Has there been that change? Have you said, Lord, I want to follow you? Well, if you have, hallelujah, but are you activated? You might have the power on like this telephone, but it's not activated. Are you activated with God? Are you participating? Number two, the second step is not only activation, but participation. Participation from distraction. What do I mean? Not only is Jesus with us, but notice, I mean Jesus for us. Notice he's with us. Look at verse 23 of the text, Matthew 1:23. You shall call his name Emmanuel. Say that name one more time with me. Emmanuel. One more time. Emmanuel. Just one more time. Emmanuel. God is with us. I tell you what, I don't know about y'all. This week, the Lord sure encouraged my heart just to say that. God, you're with me. God, you're with me. Doesn't that bless you? Doesn't that bless you? If you say it and you know what it means, it'll bless you. You need to say it right now. God is with me. Go ahead and say it. God is with me. That's right. He's with you. He knows what you're going through. He knows the seasons. He knows the changes. God is with us. Not only is he for us, that is, dying for us, now he's with us. Emmanuel, God with us. How can I get reconnected? How can I experience this from this disconnection? I can understand by participation. That's the word I want to suggest. Now let's take Joseph for example. Joseph was a righteous man. The scripture says he's a righteous man. You believe he's a righteous man? He was a dikaios, a man who believed God and trusted God. Now, what would you have done? Your spouse, girlfriend, slash fiance becomes pregnant, and you know there hadn't been any hanky-panky. Somebody say amen. There hadn't been any of that going on. And all of a sudden, you find out your girlfriend is pregnant, your fiance. Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to say? How are you going to feel? Huh, wait a minute now. I know in my heart there ain't been anything going on here, and you're pregnant, and it's not me. Now, what's the deal here? Now, Joseph, he was a human just like you. Hello, he was a human just like you. But wait a minute. God came to him like God will come to you. God sent an angel. How many believe in angels? Let me see your hand. You ought to believe in angels, but don't worship angels. Worship God. And angels are all around us. I'm glad, praise God, that he gives his angels charge concerning us to keep us in all our ways. Joseph, an angel comes and says, Joseph, I'm paraphrasing. Everything's okay, son. It's all right. It's in the plan of God. God changes things. God removes kings. God gives wisdom to the wise. Now, here's the deal. Joseph had the power on. He had the power on. He was a righteous man. What little light he had at that time, he believed in God. I won't get into all the ramifications there. Nonetheless, he had the power on, but he had to participate. He had, in order to send a text message out of here, I've got to get this phone activated. It's not activated. In order for us to get connected to God, we, watch this, don't miss this. Our faith in him has to be activated. Don't miss that. Are you trusting God, really? Well, Pastor, I'm just feeling rough and things changes. I understand. Trust him anyway. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Things going bad, things, challenges, seasons in life. Joseph had to learn to participate. All right, God, you told me through the angel that Mary is okay and that the baby is your plan for her and for mankind. God, I'm going to take you at your word. Then he is activated by his faith. Is your faith activated in God? See, you can be saved and be powered on, but not being activated by faith in God. And there's some of us today that for reason we feel disconnected from God because we're not activating that faith in God. We're not participating with that faith in God. And Paul laid it down very quickly. He said in Romans 6 that first there is the in Romans 6, verse 1, what shall we say then? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized in his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism to death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. I like verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him. Knowing this, that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. And that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth under God. Verse 11 of chapter 6 of the book of Romans. Likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is what activates your faith. First, there's the fact. God says, this is what he's done for us in Christ, the fact. Then comes the faith, and then comes the fruit. Did you get that? Fact, faith, fruit. Or, you want to put it another way? Revelation, appropriation, manifestation. Or, you want to put it another way? Knowing, and then not only knowing, but yielding, and then knowing and believing or reckoning and then yielding. There it is. Joseph's faith had to be activated. What is God saying to you today? That your faith in him needs to be activated. Well, you know what the Lord showed me this week? I'm not a prophet or son of a prophet, but I'll tell you what, the Lord showed me something this week. I can't say it was a dream. I can't say it was a vision, but God showed me something this week. You know what he showed me? This is what the Lord showed me. I'm not trying to be sensational about this, but God showed me a dark world, real dark, and people wandering around in darkness. Christians in darkness, needing light. God showed me that. It was just as real as me and you sitting here today. God showed me a world of darkness. And there's a lot of Christians today, and there's some of you today. Listen to me, I love you. But some of you today, you're wandering in darkness. You need a light. You need a light, don't you? And that's the burden that God put on my heart as I saw this world full of darkness, even Christian people walking in darkness. And I don't mean this critically at all, but I talked with a Christian man and wife. There's a lot of people, and things can happen. Our feelings can get hurt. I talked with a husband and wife here not long ago. I'm not going into all the detail, but other than saying this, I hadn't seen them in months in church, and I saw them. I love them. I hugged their neck, and they said, Pastor, I know I'm saved. We're saved, but we just hadn't been in church. And we just hadn't, but we know we need to get back to church. There's a world out there in darkness, and there's a lot of Christians out there that are walking in darkness, right? I'm not saying that critically. I'm just saying that for you and me to help restore our brothers and sisters. Amen. There's a ministry in itself right there. Well, I've got to hasten and go on. Tell me, do you see the darkness in our world? Will you give somebody a light? Just light a candle, brother. Light a candle, sister. You know how much a light will give off in a dark, dark world? Miles. You can see a candle for miles. Imagine a dark, dark world, no light at all, and then all of a sudden lighting a candle and holding it up. You know, there's a place there in Byron where you go down the hill and you go up the hill. Man, you can see for about 5 miles. We're told that somebody can see a candle from a long distance and when it's pitch black dark. Will you hold up a light for somebody? Will you light up the world for somebody? Hey, this is the time of the year. Reach out. Number 3, and I'll be done. First, activation. Secondly, participation. Number 3, reactivation. Hey, question. Have you ever had a cell phone and something happened to it and it get destroyed or something happened to it? You had to get it reactivated. Anybody? Have you ever had a cell phone you had to get reactivated? I remember one time I was cutting grass. This has been about 10 years ago or so. I was cutting grass. I had my cell phone on my side. I'm going right around cutting the grass and riding the lawnmower. And anyway, I go around a curve. There's a tree right there, and I'm turning. And for some reason or another, my phone fell off my side. About that time, the lawnmower ran right over it. I'm talking about 1,000 pieces went right out of the lawnmower. I said, oh, no. Lord, I believe in miracles, but this is going to be a miracle indeed to put this thing back together. You know what I had to do? I had to go get this thing. I had to go get another phone. Hello. But one time, you know what I did? I'm telling you all the truth. One time I did. It's been a few years ago now. I was near some water. And how many know you don't need to go near water when your phone with your phone? You've done it too, maybe. Anyway, this is a number of years ago, 15 years ago. I dropped my phone in the water. Have you ever seen a grown man cry? All my contacts, all my names, every one of them, I lost them. Well, I picked it up and I said, maybe, wow, I just got a message. Tips, learn how to type special characters. I guess this thing is activated. I don't know, I'm telling you all the truth. Anyway, it's not activated because I've tried to call. How'd they get my number? You know, God's doing some things. I don't know. Anyway, hey, do you need reactivation? Sometimes your phone, something will happen to it. You won't pay your bill. And they'll cut it off. Anyone know what I'm talking about? You got to go get that thing reactivated. Don't raise your hand now. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But anyway, you get that thing and it gets cut off and you got to get that thing reactivated. How many know what I'm talking about? You still got the phone. It's still a power on, but you got to get it reactivated. You know what? I'm going to close on this. I know there's some people today that need to get your faith reactivated. You know how I can tell when I need reactivation? You know how I can tell when I feel disconnected to God, disconnected to my family, disconnected maybe from my church family? Here's how. When my faith is fizzling, I know I need reactivation. Is your faith fizzling today? When my love is lacking, I know I need to get reactivated. When my patience is parting, I know. How many of you are feeling your patience is parting? I don't want you to raise your hand now, but let me just ask you a question. Tell me the truth now. How many of you lately have felt snappy and kind of ill? Huh? Yeah, you've been kind of snappy and kind of ill. Y'all know what I mean by that. I need to demonstrate. No, I don't need to demonstrate that. When my patience is parting, I know I need reactivation. Some of us need to get reactivated today. Our love is lacking. Our faith is fizzling. Our patience is parting. Our worry is winning. Our future is frightening. Our flesh is fighting. Our attitude needs adjusting. Some of us need reactivation today. And rather than play games with God, we need to get reconnected to the Lord. And the church said, let's stand together, can we?